Lesson number 7 on hymnology. We're trying to study different hymns, the history of the hymns, the biblical application, and the themes. We have just sung a song called No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. That's not really the hymn we're going to study this morning, but it fits with the theme. And the theme of these songs we're going to look at this morning is security in God's love. Both of these songs that we look at this morning have to do with failed human relationships and how human love failed the authors of these songs, but God's love never failed them. And we have a security in God's love. When no one else will love you, God will. I hope that you will enjoy that. I want to read the story behind this hymn by Charles Weagle. You'll notice his name at the top left and right, meaning he wrote both the words and the music to accompany the words. This is from the book entitled Songs in the Night by Henry Garrepy. No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus was written as a song, and the subtitle of this chapter says, Healing from a Broken Marriage. Healing from a Broken Marriage. The itinerant evangelist Charles Weagle, who lived from 1871 to 1966, and I've actually heard a tape of him, his voice, giving the testimony of the song and singing it, discovered one night after returning home from a preaching mission that his wife had left him. He found a note from her announcing that she had taken their little daughter and left, seeking a more glamorous life in a distant city. Sometime later, it was only 7 years later, as she lay dying, she asked her daughter to try to find, quote, find your father and ask him to pray for me, end quote. But the message did not reach him in time. Evangelist Charles Weagle experienced deep despair, even contemplating suicide. But through it all, he claimed God's sustaining grace that saw him through. One day, sitting at the piano, he pondered how God's love and care had sustained him in his dark night of sorrow. His fingers started to run across the keyboard, constructing chords and musical phrases. Then the song was born. The song that had brought comfort to many others who have known a broken heart like his. The words, born out of heartbreak and despair, present a thumbnail biography of its author. From the heart that had been broken by sorrow, but healed by God's grace, these vibrated chords for this song of assurance. Many today know the pain of broken marriages, fractured families, despair in the tender relationships of life. Let us affirm the assuring truth that our Lord cares and understands and will bring light in the darkness of our night. We should append to this hymn the Apostle Peter's invitation of 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. And Evangelist Weagle came home. His wife left him. I've read other accounts where it says she just wanted to have more fun and more glamorous life, and she only lived 7 years after that. Didn't get to enjoy what she wanted. And then she died, leaving him heartbroken. But he kept on in his evangelistic ministry. He kept on preaching, and God used him in many, many churches and tent meetings and blessed his ministry. And he writes here about his security in God's love. He obviously wasn't secure in his wife's love. Her love failed him. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 that a wife should love her husband. That is one of her obligations as a wife. And her love failed him, but God's love didn't. And so the theme of this song is security in God's love. Now, I'd like you to find a red hymn book. We're not going to sing. But I'd like you to look in a... No, in fact, you can look in your blue hymn book. Blue hymn book, it's in this one also. 339, and no, it is the red. I'm sorry, the red hymn book. Sorry about that. 339 in the red. Here's a song we don't sing anymore, and we don't even know the song anymore, sadly. And I think I'll share a few reasons why we don't as we go along our lesson today. But instead of singing this song right now, we're going to play a tape of a man who sung it. This man came to our church one time, and this was not recorded at our church, but he sang here back on our fifth anniversary. His name is Ed Wolber. This song is, "O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go." Now notice the title and how it fits the theme today, security in God's love. Security in God's love. And before we play this tape, the Bible says in Hosea 11 and verse 4 about God. God is speaking here and says, "I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love." And the Bible speaks how God just kind of wraps us up in cords and bands of his love. His love won't let us go. But in the case of Charles Weigel, his wife's love let him go. She just stopped loving him. And as we're going to see in the case of George Matheson at the top left, he also has a failed relationship where a woman stopped loving him. And many times men stop loving women and church members stop loving church members. And born-again Christians stop loving God. And often there's starts and stops to the loves of humans, but not God. Not God. We are secure in God's love. In John 13, it says about Jesus' love, "Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." He loved them right to the end. But we'll read the story. But right now we're going to listen, and he's not going to sing all four verses. I believe he sings the first, third, and the fourth. He's a tenor. Some people don't like tenor music, but that's all right. Just listen to this. This is one of the deeper songs that you'll ever hear, okay?
Oh,
Think that sound coming through the walls. Coming, I wonder what's going on up here. We got a guest singer or something. Who knows what they're thinking? I want to read now out of the same book the story behind this hymn. This is a much, much lesser known hymn, but again, this comes from the failure of human love to the revelation of our security in God's love. And I know that this is something that some of you have experienced, the failure of human love, and we've all experienced it, I'm sure, even as church members. This is written by George Matheson, "O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go." It says this: out of the crucible of his own suffering, George Matheson gave us the devotional treasure, "O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go." Born in Scotland in 1842, from his earliest childhood, Matheson was troubled with failing sight. By the time he was 18, his loss was total. He became completely blind. In spite of his handicap, he distinguished himself as a brilliant student at Edinburgh University, earning a doctorate. Later, he established himself as an eminent preacher and writer and was honored by an invitation from Queen Victoria to preach at Balmoral Castle. When the young lady to whom he was engaged found that he had become totally blind, she refused to marry him. Out of that rejection, he wrote of a love that was steadfast and unfailing amid all the circumstances of life, God's love. He said, "O love that wilt not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be." And out of his blindness and physical darkness, he affirmed, "O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be." Dr. Matheson's hymn employs great metaphors to express his inspired insights. The first and second symbols of this hymn are love and light. The symbol of his third verse is joy. It is the joy that overtakes pain, with the rainbow emerging out of the storm, the tearless morning succeeding the tearful night. Although for him beauty was eclipsed, he lyricized, "O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be." Then the hymn climaxes with the great metaphor of the cross. From the crucifixion of Christ and of self comes life eternal. "O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead. And from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. Dr. Matheson has given his own record of the composing of this song. He said something had happened that caused me the most severe mental suffering. That was this lady he was engaged to, deciding that she did not want to marry him because of his eyesight. The hymn was the fruit of that suffering. It was the quickest bit of work I have ever done in my life. I had the impression of having it dictated to me by some inward voice rather than my having worked it out myself. The whole work was completed in 5 minutes, and it never received at my hands any alterations or corrections. How wonderful that from so unlovely a thing as suffering can come so exquisite an offering as this poem. Its lofty language and depth of devotional expression gives it a place among the classic hymns of our faith. It stands in stark contrast to the saccharine and shallow expressions that can sometimes characterize modern singing. May the love, light, joy, and cross of which it speaks be our experience in Christ. And he feels the same way I do about music there. This is in the Great Hymns of the Faith psalm book. It might be the last psalm book it's included in because it's so deep, I think, and we've become so shallow in this day and age, especially in our English, and our inability to even understand metaphors or poetry, that we're getting away from this type of music that speaks, that makes you think, that makes you contemplate, that makes you see the depths of the Lord, and we're getting into all these shallow rock concerts and shallow praise and worship hymns and songs this deep from this much anguish and suffering. I fear a lot of them aren't being birthed today in the body of Christ. Some are, but not many. And I think that nowadays if we even sang a song like this in church, people would be shaking their heads saying, what's that all about? You know, and I'm going to find a church where the music makes me feel better. A lot of people do that nowadays. But this is deep here. And Ed Wolber was at our church, the man who just sang that. I know it wasn't a very good tape. It's a very, very old tape that I had, the quality of it. But it was on a hymn called Favorites. And this was a tape that was done one time. He did a whole group of favorite hymns in honor of his pastors. Some of you heard it. His pastor was Dr. Jack Hiles, and this was one of Dr. Jack Hiles' favorite hymns of all times. O love that wilt not let me go. Just think of the title. Just think of the title. Let it bless your heart. O love that wilt not let me go. And who knows about human loves? Whether they will maintain their fervency, their heat, or whether they'll cool off. Boy, sometimes nowadays, a failed human relationship does not mean the end of your life. In fact, it may be the beginning of your love life with Christ. When a human fails you and you are ushered into the presence of the Lord who will never fail to love you, it does not mean you should rush out and find another human relationship to get into. Everybody needs love. Have you noticed that? Every human needs love. I don't care who you are or what you try to act like or how hard you try to act. Everybody needs love. And unfortunately, so often when a human relationship fails in its love, people then think, well, I've got to find another human that can give me the type of love that I am looking for or that I need. But that really can only be found in God. God never gave us a mate to meet all of our needs because that mate is not deity. God alone is our all-sufficiency. He gave us a mate to help us through life. These men did not rush out and try to find another person to marry. In fact, they lived single lives. Charles Weigel and George Matheson, the rest of their lives, and they lived them quite successfully as ministers of the Word of God, evangelists. And Brother Matheson was a preacher, a blind preacher. Imagine that. And God used him and his ministry. They had faith in the unseen God and in his love and did not rush out to find another woman that would be that source. Maybe these songs this morning could even comfort the grieving and those of you who have lost your mates to death. These were lost to a failing love, a divorce, and a breakup. Maybe yours was lost to death and that person is no longer here to love you, but God is still here to love you. God is still here to love you. And this is a great song. I've come up with a little outline, and we only have a few minutes left, of these four verses. And George Matheson writing these four verses. Verse number one, as a rejected man. Verse number two, as a blind man. Verse number three, as a pained man, or a man with pain. And then verse number four, as a discouraged man. And then he presents himself as that type of a person and then shows what God's love did for him in each and every case in this song. So let's just go through it. And we've already read his assessment of why he wrote the verses the way he did. And let's now look at these things. And I'll just add a little bit to what I think and maybe a few verses from the scriptures, as time allows. Number one, verse number one, he writes this as a rejected man. A rejected man. We read about this man, and I have just heard word this week about a young man that used to attend this church and moved away to a distant town and was one time came to my house, last year it was, hadn't seen me and stopped by to just thank me for everything I did for him growing up and so on and so forth. And he had his cell phone. I don't know how these cell phones work, but he's picking up pictures and showing this is, and he mentioned her name and I'm in love and she's in love with me and we're going to get married next year and so on and so forth. And I asked somebody at the wedding who knew this person yesterday, hi, how are they making out? They're getting married soon. And he said they got engaged and they were ready to be married, and then 2 weeks before the marriage, she broke it off. And I'm sure he's in a great deal of pain, and he feels as a rejected man. A rejected man. Verse 1 says, O love, thou wilt not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine paths that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. Rejected. What a difficult experience for anyone to go through. And yet, through that suffering, we can have fellowship with the Lord. It is said about our Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The Bible literally shares with us a physical description of Jesus Christ. And it says, when Jesus Christ comes to earth, the Lord, he will not be handsome. There would not be anything physically about him that would be attractive. Now, people say, well, I've seen paintings of him. He looks really nice and handsome. Well, those paintings do not depict the Bible. Jesus was a very, very plain-looking man. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Listen to this, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. See, I think people like George Matheson, Charles Weigel, this other young man who recently had a lady break up with him 2 weeks before the wedding, they can come into the presence of the Lord who understands what it's like to be rejected of men and to have people hide their faces from him and feel the love of the Lord flow into them. And to have the Lord say, I know what it's like to be rejected. I know what it's like for it to have people who do not want anything to do with you. I know what it's like. And if you will give your life to me, then, he said, that in thine ocean depths, its flow, that is, love's flow, may richer, fuller be. I'll teach you about a love that's so deep, so full, that flows from the ocean depths of God's love, a love that'll never let you go. And thank the Lord for that. It says in Ephesians 1 and verse 6 that every one of us is accepted in the Beloved. And these men were rejected by women. There's been a whole lot of women who've been rejected by men after men used them. But the Lord accepts every one of us in the Beloved. And the ugliest person on earth is loved of God by a love that's described as ocean depths. And the more you know about God, it says the more you learn he loves you. His love just gets greater and greater and greater. Then verse 2, he writes, as a blind man, O light. Now remember, he was blind at 14 and he lived 46 more years. I'm sorry, he was blind at age 18 and he lived 46 more years till his death as a blind man. Preaching, doing his best for God. But he would write this, O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fair be. He talks about even though he's physically blind, yet the spiritual light in his life was growing brighter and brighter and brighter every day. One of my favorite verses on this subject is Proverbs 4 and verse 18. It says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more and more unto the perfect day. You know, if you and I walk with God, things will get clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer until we see Christ. I mean, he'll just give us more and more answers, more and more knowledge, more and more wisdom, more and more understanding. And things do not get darker for the believer who walks with the Lord. It gets lighter and lighter and lighter. I mean, to this day, I'm sure most of you can testify, you know the answers to more questions today than you've ever known before. And we can only expect that to be the same. And so it was this way for him. As a blind man, spiritually, the Lord kept him in the light. And his path got brighter and brighter and brighter as he walked. And I'm sure that as an 18-year-old man, that was probably the greatest pain of his life. But as he walked with the Lord and got to the end of his path, I'm sure he had just buried that thing. It was just in the love of the Lord and in the light of the Lord. It says in 2 Peter 1:19, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Now listen, the Bible. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So it says here that, yeah, when we start out the Christian life, we are in darkness. We're saved. And Jesus, John 1 and verses 7 and 8 and 9, is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. At first we get saved and we just have that little flickering ray. But soon that flickering ray becomes the sun's rays and its brightness. We have so much light. And the Bible is as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn in our lives personally, and the day star Christ arises in our hearts. We never know anything about darkness after that. And then verse 3 is a pained man. A man with pain. And he brings out in verse 3 of his song that that pain, that suffering, birthed joy in him. Oh, joy that seekest me through pain. Sorrow is the soil from which joy springs forth. It's not a very good illustration, but I've used it before. But if you take a football team and you take all the pain they go through physically, all the adversity, the injuries, and playing in the rain and the snow and the hot weather and so on and so forth, and the whole year is pain. But if they win the Super Bowl, what's the product of all that pain? Joy. And I've used this illustration before, but what if they took the names? Let's say there's 30 teams in the league. I don't know how many there are. Let's say they wrote down every team's name and they put it in the bag. And at the beginning of the season, they shook up the bag and they said, okay, we're going to pick out the Super Bowl winner. And they reach inside of the bag and they pull out a name and it says, whatever, Arizona Cardinals, you win the Super Bowl this year. Here's your rings. You think that's going to give any of those guys joy? Why not? They didn't work for it. There was no pain. There was no pain. The Bible says a lady goes through sorrow when she knows her time has come to be delivered of her baby. And she goes through what we call labor and pain. But then as soon as the child is born, the Bible says there's joy. There's joy. Sorrow is the soil which joy springs forth from. But some do not intermeddle with their sorrow and their joy. But he says, O joy that seekest me through pain, listen, I cannot close my heart to thee. I'm not going to close my heart to sorrow. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14:10, a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. See, a lot of times people have sorrow come into their life in some form, and they immediately turn bitter and angry at God, and they blame him for everything, rather than intermeddling with that and saying, okay, Lord, I know I got to go through this, and that the end result of this is going to be joy. It's going to be joy. And that's what the songwriter says, oh, joy that seekest me through pain. I cannot close my heart to thee. I'm not going to close my heart to pain and to the lessons God's trying to teach me because I want the joy. It's going to come through this. Well, we got to close. And he goes on to say, I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain that morn shall tearless be. Someday it's going to be morning forever and there will be no tears in eternity. But then verse 4, as a discouraged man, O cross, notice, that liftest up my head. God is described in Psalm 3, in verses 3 and 4, as the lifter up of mine head. He is the one that kind of reaches down a discouraged man, puts his hand under his chin, and lifts his head up. He says, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. God is the lifter up of my head. And when you see people with heads down, that's discouragement. See, the attractiveness of Christ is not physical. But the attractiveness of Christ to us is in the love that he showed when he suffered for us. That he did that for me. Oh, cross that lifteth. How can I be discouraged when Christ went through all of this for me? I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust, life's glory dead. And from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. This is the secret right here to the discouraged. Die to self. Die to self. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat, John 12 and verse 24, a corn of wheat be planted in the ground and die, it abides alone. It never has any life. But if it die, brings forth life. And so the authors say, I lay in dust, life's glory dead. I'm going to just kill my life. All of life's glory, I lay it down as dead. And from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. So I was discouraged, but I looked to the cross. Christ died for me, and now I'm going to die for Christ, and from that's going to come life. What a great song. You've probably never heard of it before, maybe not much. Oh, love that wilt not let me go. The security in God's love. You can't trust anybody, really, to love you to the end, but you can trust God to love you to the end. Boy, Paul. Remember Paul, what he said? He said, at the end of his life, no man stood with me. He said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. What a thing. After he spent his whole life helping people, he said, he got to the end, no man stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. Oh, love that wilt not let me go. I hope you'll rest in that love like George Matheson did. Our Father, thank you for Sunday school.